May you be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Curious claims and coincidences stand out today. The apocalypse. You know, Hillary's talking about it. So will we. But for goodness sake, she was bragging the other day that she's the only thing standing between us and the apocalypse. Curious claim, even considering her reputation as a world-class liar. Because she's the one with the itchy trigger finger when it comes to having a nuclear war with Russia. And that takes me back to the apocalyptic years of my youth, the early 60s, the Cuban Missile Crisis, with the Catholic president, John F. Kennedy. In comparison with his morals, Trump comes across as an altar boy. You may certainly vote for altar boys. They're a fine group. Those were the Fatima years then. Rosaries were requested and said. I remember my first experience with the prayer chain started by the pastor. And I remember, too, at my school, St. Suzanne's in Detroit, why we'd have a high mass sung by the whole student body every morning. And then the pastor said that this October of 1962, we would all of us pray the rosary. And the students who got there too late, the church couldn't hold them all back then. Why, they, I remember seeing them kneeling with their school books in the hallway outside of church every day, the high mass and the rosary together. Nobody knew enough yet to worry about children getting too much religion, I guess. It was a serious time, serious and tinged with sadness. Who knew what would happen? Well, today's Mass has exactly that Fatima apocalyptic feel to it. All concerned it is with the coming of Christ, the battle with Antichrist, and the last judgment. You see, this Mass was composed sometime before the year 1000, and back then, they thought the millennium would mark the end, just as St. Paul and Lydia. She's the wealthy purple dye dealer to whom today's epistle or letter was sent at Philippi. Well, they all thought the parousia, the day of Christ, was near at hand. So the Mass sees Christ coming. The soul is conscious of her sins, just starting to wake up and to realize the judgment. We have the taxes, you might also call it the voting gospel. But the burden of the gospel is not political, it is religious. It was Tuesday of Holy Week. In Matthew, just before, the Pharisees are plotting the death of Christ. And our Lord says that he is going now to render to God the thing that is God's, the life of his Son. And then, oh, by the way, yes, do your duty to Caesar. Someone's always plotting the death of Christ. Now, of course, it's the death of the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. With those big-name Democrats and that Jew, the billionaire, with all of his money, Soros, for the New World Order, the infiltration of the Catholic Church. Our Lord goes to die, but he leaves us the solution for our sins, the Mass, the unbloody sacrifice, so that we may have a means to atone for the many sins with which we are weighed down before judgment. That's the lesson of the secret and the post-communion prayer in your missal. You should always come to Mass with your missal and read the proper of the Mass more than once in its course. Think about it. Why you would miss this, I don't know. May this sacrifice, we pray today, constantly free us from our sins, protect us, help us in our weakness. It does. Go to Mass. Have Masses offered for your sins. It is our solution. Nobody's talking about it. Christ, not Clinton, is the only thing standing between you and the apocalypse. Oh, and not incidentally, the gospel says, do your duty to Caesar, piety, patriotism. And I trust you know what that will mean in knowledge, St. Paul, and in all understanding. And now you know as well that the Mass today references the days of Antichrist. It's written as though the church were actually undergoing the final persecution, the reign of the man of sin, which precedes the last judgment. From thence, our creed, he shall come to judge. What are the circumstances of his coming? Who is Antichrist? If it's not Hillary and not Obama before her, oh, they are as pygmies before the giant. What are the actual circumstances of the apocalypse? There's no textbook to follow here, but Scripture tells us a lot in rich detail so that we may be prepared. Still, the fathers, the doctors of the church, give varying interpretations. I thought it would be interesting to follow today St. Teresa of Lisieux's textbook, The Little Flower. Love this book, The Conferences of the Abbé Armijon. It's called The End of the Present World and the Mysteries of the Future Life. She said, remember, we talked about this once, reading this book was one of the greatest graces of my life. So in the second chapter, you get the story of Antichrist. He will be a man, the man of sin. He will be a Jew of the tribe of Dan. He will be, St. John Damascene, the child of fornication, such as Bergoglio is all in favor of. He'll persuade his fellow Jews that he's the Messiah. He will rule the world from Jerusalem and show himself in the temple, which he will rebuild, as God. And eventually he alone will be worshipped. He's the ape of God, God's opposite, the personal enemy of Jesus Christ. All of his work will be smooth and ruthless, media savvy. He'll use ridicule as well as violence and fear, and there'll be lots of laws passed to dethrone Jesus Christ. Why would God allow this to happen? Well, St. Paul says it's because of the sin against the Holy Ghost, to punish the perverse spirit which will not believe the truth, especially the Jews. So they will fall for a false Messiah and follow him in leading a dissolute and immoral life. God also will permit this to teach man the great power of Satan and his own weakness. And finally, to fulfill the prophecies that out of many hearts, thoughts may be revealed. It'll be a great time for scandals, the loss of souls. Antichrist will have absolute power. There will be no freedom except to do evil. He'll be the master of the occult, signs and wonders. He'll work his own death and seeming resurrection. He is the ape of God. And all of the pundits and the columnists and the TV people, the free thinkers and the skeptics, will be entirely taken in by Antichrist. He will suppress the feast days. He will give our holidays different names after animals. He will suppress Sunday and the Sunday observance. How sad it is to think that some of you are cooperating with him in that. He will impose godless education in the state schools. All religion will be banished from life, from birth to death. And eventually all religions will go. Judaism, Mohammedanism, Protestantism, even Freemasonry will all be suppressed. He alone will be worshipped. And to do business, to buy or sell, you'll have to have his name on your right hand or your forehead. That number 666, that's mystical. It's a way of saying God does not want us to know Antichrist's name before the time. And there'll be no escaping. There'll be no escaping. Look, the government has a network all set up already. There's the NSA, the spy system, the computer with a little eye on it, the cell phone, all of which can spy on you. There's Google Earth, as they used to sing in the song, where are you going to go? Where are you going to hide? You're not. How long will this last? It will take a good while, even with today's communication system, for it to come about. But when finally Antichrist abolishes the last mass on earth, and there will be no more masses, it will last for 3.5 years, St. John and Daniel say. And when things are at their worst during these 3.5 years, two witnesses of the apocalypse, Enoch and Elias, who have been living ever since they were seen on earth, living someplace we're not sure where, Enoch, the great-great-grandfather of Noah, ancestor of Christ, and Elias, the prophet of Mount Carmel, Our Lady's prophet, will come and preach to the world, all throughout the world, penance in sackcloth and ashes. They will convert the Jews. They will be able to overcome their obstinacy. It's interesting, it is noted that Antichrist will deal with them by ignoring them, first of all, in the media, and then by mocking them. Those who try to kill them before the time will be slain with fire from the mouth of these two witnesses. And they will work great signs with rain and water, sort of an ecological theme, I guess. And they will convert many with great power. The devil finally will come up out of hell as a dragon and slay them both in Jerusalem. And their bodies will lie dead and unburied for 3.5 days. They will rise from the dead. There will be an earthquake, and 7,000 will die. And the rest of the world will be converted. And then will come Jesus Christ by the breath of his mouth. Some say that might mean by St. Michael the Archangel. And he will kill Antichrist. And the church will be restored with glory. For a time, 45 days, says one theologian, maybe much longer, say others, until finally Christ comes in triumph with the trumpets. Now, isn't all of this far more interesting than the 2016 election? And Hillary thinks that a Trump presidency would be the apocalypse. She doesn't have a clue. But you do. May Mary keep you spotless and true unto the day of Christ Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.